A reading from the book of Exodus. From the desert of Sin, the whole congregation of children of Israel journeyed by stages as the Lord directed and encamped at Rephidim. There was no water for the people to drink. They quarreled, therefore, with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to a test?" Then, in their thirst for water, the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst with our children and our livestock?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? A little more, and they will stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go over there in front of the people, along with some of the elders of Israel. Hold in your hand as you go the staff with which you struck the river. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will flow from it for the people to drink." This Moses did in the presence of the elders of Israel. The place was called Massah and Meribah because the children of Israel quarreled there and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord in our midst or not?" The word of the Lord. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us acclaim the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us joyfully sing psalms to him. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord who made us, for he is our God, and we are the people he shepherd, the flocks he guides. Oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massah in the desert, when your fathers tempted me. They tested me, though they had seen my works.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
At that time, Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, if you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep, where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Christ is coming, the one called the Anointed. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with the woman. But still no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work. Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with him, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world."
Verbum Domini.
Come see a man who has told me everything that I have done. The third Sunday of Lent begins the ancient scrutiny celebrations for catechumens seeking baptism and candidates desiring full communion with the Catholic Church. The first scrutiny is usually read in its entirety in year A of the liturgical cycle, but due to it bearing year B, it was not read this Sunday. But the church gives the option that the scrutiny gospel of the Samaritan woman at the well be read during the week of years B and C. And so here we are, reflecting upon this gospel of the Samaritan woman at the well. Asking the Holy Spirit to accomplish in us and through us what God desires to give, and only what God desires to give and what he can give. This gospel is directed at stirring up the hearts of the faithful for the gift of faith. In today's scrutiny gospel, the Samaritan woman at the well is at that well for each one of us, for you and for me. She goes to the well to quench her thirst. She was a Samaritan, an outsider. She deliberately went to the well when she knew that other people would not be around. Why, perhaps? Shame. Maybe of her current condition, her soul. Shame keeps us in the shadows, not wanting to come out into the light. Jesus must have startled her when he asked, "Give me a drink." He wasn't thirsty for water. He was thirsty for her faith. He was thirsty for her love. And this is a response. Faith is a response to the gift given. There's a connection between what is said here and from the cross. I thirst. Give me a drink. Jesus cried from the cross, I thirst. The thirst in both cases that Jesus was thirsting for was for the love of human beings, for their salvation, that we might open our hearts to his profound love. The preface used in year A on the third Sunday conveys the profound teaching on the gift of faith. The preface says, listen to these words. Every time I say these words, as a priest, even during year A, praying the preface, these words never grow old. There's always something new that the Lord desires to teach us in the Gospels and also even in the prayers in which we pray in the sacred liturgy. Preface says, "For when he asked the Samaritan woman for water to drink, he had already created the gift of faith within her. And so ardently did he thirst for her faith that he kindled in her the fire of divine love. For when he asked the Samaritan woman for water to drink, he had already created the gift of faith within her. And so ardently did he thirst for her faith that he kindled in her the fire of divine love." That faith is a gift. It's a created gift from God. And that's the gift that we receive at baptism. But even before baptism, this is why the church reads this reading during the scrutiny Sundays of third, fourth, and fifth Sundays, how there's a Samaritan woman at the well, the man born blind, and the raising of Lazarus from the dead. The Lord wants to show us and to teach us what he wants to do for our souls, how he desires to quench that thirst in your soul. And in the gospel of the man born blind, that he desires to give you a vision of a new reality to see with the eyes of faith. And that through the sacraments that he desires to raise you from the dead as he rose Lazarus from the dead. So that gift of faith is a creation from God. And that even catechumens, even those who have not received the gift of baptism, there's somewhat of a creation going on within them, a thirst even. Nobody would even approach the waters of baptism, an adult that is, if they didn't already have within them something going on, a creation, a gift from God. So this gospel is read to stir up within us the fire of divine love that only God can thirst, only God can quench that thirst. In this scrutiny, the Lord, just as the Lord revealed to the woman at the well her sins and the condition of her soul, perhaps the Lord, through these scrutinies, wants to reveal our own sinfulness, our own present condition. The Lord does not do this to the woman at the well to condemn her, but to open up her heart and to give her the gift that only he can give, and to each one of us. Imagine that look of the woman at the well when he opened up her conscience, when he opened up her life. Imagine that. And the Lord desires to know us to know that there is no human sin that he cannot forgive. Every human sin committed under the sun, the Lord can wipe away. And for those of us who are already baptized and are candidates seeking full communion with the church, this is a wonderful gospel to keep in mind as you prepare to encounter the Lord in the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. That is, come and meet a man who has told me everything that I have done. He reveals her conscience without shaming her, without pointing a finger. Only the Lord can do this. We point fingers at people. We shame other people. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to be Christ-like and live in charity. But the Lord, as the divine teacher, the divine physician, does not shame her. That's what the Lord wants to do for you. That's what the Lord desires to do for you, whatever sins that you have committed in your life. No shame. The Lord desires to put his finger in there and to heal that. When we go to confession, Jesus desires us to hold nothing back. Last night into later today in the evening began an initiative that was started during the extraordinary Jubilee Year of Mercy called 24 Hours with the Lord. And various places throughout the world, priests would hear confessions for 24 hours straight, enabling the people to come to confession at any time. Maybe kind of an image of the woman at the well coming at a time where nobody's around. Maybe in the shadows, in the dark of the night, going to the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. Maybe you need to make a good confession before Easter. Maybe something that has been bothering you for years. Maybe gnawing at you. Now, we don't want to say that we need to confess sins that we've already confessed. God forgives and God forgets. That's a great mystery of God's mercy. You don't need to keep up bringing up sins. That's not helpful. But maybe there is something in your life that you've been holding on to. And the Lord desires you to cast that into the ocean, the abyss of his divine mercy, that only he can eradicate sin. Jesus desires us to be free and not to be slaves to our sins, and to our failings and to our weaknesses, not to be chained down. And be not afraid to cast your sins into the ocean of God's mercy. Be not afraid. Be not afraid to approach a priest in this season of Lent before Easter to make a good and heartfelt confession, especially those of you in our viewing audience, maybe you have been away for many years, 20, 40, 50, even 70. A few years ago, I got a letter from a lady, 70 years. 70 years. She went to confession and she's free. Free. It's never too late. He thirsts for your faith and he thirsts for your response. Right now.